Good morning. Can you hear me at the back? Yeah, fab. I'll just use this when it's right, yeah? Not yet. Hide it. Fab. Thank you. Thanks, guys. I had the opportunity to meet a new couple last week, a really awesome couple from America, and they were telling me about a story about their daughter who spent a year teaching English to students in Taiwan. And upon marking some of adult students, I might add, on marking their work, she came across this sentence that she then sent to her parents in America. Slow by slow, in the long of time, we will be success. Slow by slow, in the long of time, we will be success. That kind of has an awful lot to do with what I'm talking about today, and as we go on, it will make more and more sense. But I just love that, and it's something that I've just carried like a little treasure in my heart, and I think it's something that God really wants us to listen to, especially the slow by slow bit. This morning we're going to look at one of the best invitations that you could possibly be given, this side of knowing Jesus and this side of eternity. And I guess my job this morning is to articulate how best I possibly can the joy and the pleasure it is of receiving that invitation. And as you hold it in your hand, to try and encourage you to respond. But I don't want you to respond this morning out of obligation or manipulation, but out of a new, fresh revelation of just how constant and how peaceful the love of Jesus is and his presence. When Jesus walked this earth thousands of years ago, he spent time with real people, people who failed, people who sinned. He would watch them as they carried these heavy burdens around. He'd also watch those who really believed, they honestly, truly believed that they were doing the right thing, but they were buckling under the weight of religious intention, religious law. And as Jesus just sat and watched, and as he walked around, he offered them a solution to this lifestyle that wasn't sustainable. And out of a heart of deep compassion and the purest love that we will ever know, he says this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. For some of you this morning, that's the 100th time you've heard those verses. And maybe today that's the first time you've ever heard those words. But regardless of which camp you are in, God has something new for us today, to have an opportunity to discover the truth of these words, an opportunity to accept that invitation. And the invitation that I want to unpack this morning is come, rest, and learn. We're all learning. If you just consider the week that you've had, maybe you're an apprentice and you're learning a new trade. Maybe you've been in the same job for decades, but a new employee has started and is now teaching you something new. Maybe you've learned from a mistake you've made, or an observation of a relationship that you've been watching and you've learned from that. I think as parents, we're very good, aren't we, at looking at other parenting and deciding which we'll copy and that which we will not copy. We're all learning. And since we were very small, we've been learning. The thing is that with everything that we learn, every new revelation, there's a response that occurs. There's a response that follows. Excitement, fear, anger, rage, worry, curiosity, perhaps. And these responses are more powerful than we ever knew when we were young. for every response is moulding very, very slowly that part of us within that is hidden from everybody else, the soul, the heart. And yet it's revealed. It's revealed in times of crisis or excitement. You get a little glimpse of somebody's soul. And King Solomon in the book of Proverbs, he really grasped the power and the nature of the soul when he wrote, "Above all else, guard your heart, for out of it, everything will follow." There we go. "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." Your soul is the motivation. It's the motivation of all you do. Therefore, we truly need to guard it. But how do we guard our hearts? Quite simply, it begins and it ends with Jesus. You can't guard your heart without him. When Jesus invites us to walk with him and to talk with him and to learn from him, very slowly the soul within us starts to take on a new form. And this walking and talking and learning with him is called transformation. It's what we looked at throughout the whole book of Romans. And it is a really slow, slow process. It is never rushed because Jesus is gentle in spirit. And Jesus always sets the pace of transformation. We often run ahead, or maybe we drag our heels because maybe the shame is too great. We'd rather hide behind where Jesus is, but he'll wait for us. And I believe that God's will for today is for us to understand afresh the pleasant and yet the essential notion of walking slowly with Jesus. As I was planning this, I said to Jesus, "Why is walking slowly necessary?" And he said to me, "I'm not going anywhere and I'm not in a hurry, but we have a lot to get through." Talking about me, talking about my character and my soul. Jesus isn't going anywhere. He died and he rose again and he lives victorious. He isn't in a hurry. He sets the pace. But within each of us, there is a soul and there's a great work yet to be done. Jesus needs nothing from us. And he's not depleted in any way. He is, however, with us right now, regardless of the state of your heart. The soul that is within you that no one else can see, except for when it's revealed through our emotions and through circumstance. And it's a long process. And I think, honestly and truly, if I have to live this life, which I actually want to, I do want to be alive. So maybe I should say, whilst I'm living this life and whilst I'm aware that Jesus is with me, I really want to learn from him. And that hasn't always been the case. A few years ago, my parents separated, and it came as such a huge shock to me. As far as I'm concerned, and as far as I am aware, I had very little to do with that decision. It was a circumstance that happened beyond my control. And during that time, we went to a conference in London as a staff team. And it was there that God called me by name and he said something that has changed my life in the last few years. He said, "Esther, I am renovating your heart." And I was like, "Oh, yes." It was almost as though God had looked upon the earth at the billions of people and he'd suddenly seen the state of my heart. And I was like, "Oh, at last you've seen it. Now you can get on and fix it. Thank you for renovating it. May it be quick." And So you'd forgive my confusion when a few months into the renovation stage, God is waking me up and he's saying, "Okay, today, renovation time, we are going to deal with offence." And then a few months later, renovation time, Esther. This time we're looking at the area of unforgiveness again. And so on and so on over the years. And I came to realise that renovation of the heart has very little to do with the circumstances themselves, but almost always everything to do with the way we respond. And I say that not to take away from the pain that is so true and so real, and there is a place for tears. But the really important part of our stories is what happens next. When when those things happen to you, especially those that are beyond your control, the what happens next bit is really important, and it has eternal consequences, and it's everything to do with the response. Just as Nathan shared last week so well, in battle, the response is to worship and to praise. That's just such an amazing message last week. And since our soul and our spirit has been forming, since we were babies over a long, long time, we've had an awfully long time to respond to people and to circumstances. And so the responses that we often that often come to the surface are fear and anger, maybe excitement and curiosity. Each response is gently forming that hidden, unmeasurable part of us, the soul. King Solomon really was so wise when he asked us and encouraged us to guard it. And it's never, ever too late to receive Jesus. I became a Christian when I was 6, and I got baptized when I was about 14. I married Guy when I was 22, and he was a Christian. He is still a Christian. You'll be relieved to know you're in relatively safe hands here. But I'm 36 now, so I've always known Jesus. He's always been a part of my life. I've not known a time where prayer hasn't been a part of me. There have been times, long seasons, where my prayer life has looked a particular way that hasn't been very satisfactory, but I've always known Jesus. And yet, in all of those years, there's just been this underlying dissatisfaction that I haven't truly grasped this relationship with Jesus that I could often see in people and that I read about. There was a disconnect. And then 18 months ago, so very, very recently, something changed. I didn't have a near-death experience or anything huge. Quite simply, I went to bed one evening and I said, Jesus, I'm going to say yes to you. And that was it. But I meant it. I was so sincere. Jesus, I just want to say yes to you. And what happened the next morning, God woke me up really early and he said, go downstairs to the office. We need to have a chat. And that morning was such an exciting morning, and there is a story in there for another time. But what happened was I took that invitation of come rest and learn, and it became a daily habit. And in that time of just resting and being in the presence of Jesus, I got to know his character, which I hadn't done before. I just read the stories in the Bible, and I knew God loved me. But there was something about the character and the kindness of Jesus that I just loved and that I discovered. And so whilst I'm more satisfied spiritually than I ever have been, Jesus does keep reminding me that he's renovating my heart and there's a lot to be done. So in that sense, we have a long way to go. The thing about renovation is that with renovation, you take something old to make something new. That's different to restoration, which is a term we hear a lot of in the Bible, where you take something old in order to bring it back to its former condition. So there's a difference there between renovation and restoration. I don't want my heart to be restored for it to become like it was. And yet the temple, when it was destroyed, God said, I will restore it, not renovate it. It had to be the way that he intended it to be. God is doing something new with my heart. I know I'm talking about me a lot, but it applies to us all. He's doing something new with my heart. And the other thing with renovation, is that the object, whether it's a barn or a piece of furniture or indeed our hearts, is that we do not put any restrictions or limitations on what can and can't be done. You could buy a building, and if you're renovating it, you can tear it down to the ground, and with a new design, you can create something new. And it's the same with our heart. So whilst God, by his power, can do the most impossible things with our hearts, we have to give him access all areas. And I think that was the stumbling block in my life, is that I would choose, in my quiet times, what I would offer for us to work through. And it just wasn't getting us anywhere. And I wasn't discovering the kindness of Jesus. Jesus invites us in this passage, he invites us to come to him and rest. By his grace, he chooses to invite us to come and rest first. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And then just to seal the point, he then says, and you will find rest for your souls. I love that. In the gospel, do you ever get the idea that Jesus is just rushing around in a panic? He's so laid back, just strolling along, doing these miracles. My favourite story of Jesus is when, after he was crucified and rose again, he appeared to his disciples several times. And one of those times was early in the morning, and he could see his friends fishing in the sea, and they weren't really doing a great job. And he just calls out. They don't know who he is. They don't know it's Jesus. They saw him crucified. And yet he says, throw your nets to the other side. And lo and behold, they have an enormous amount of fish. And he says, bring some, I'll cook it for you. And so Jesus is caring first. He wants us to be in a place where we can rest, not wrestle. And then as he's cooking, it's when his friends are settled and when they're happy that he then goes on and teaches. When we take a good hard look at the soul within, it can be quite overwhelming. At least it is for me. But Jesus doesn't get overwhelmed. He just invites you right now to stop. And that's the invitation that we have. We've all got it in our hand. You need to rest. But how does that look? How does that time with Jesus look? Well, sometimes I rest, I get up early, I sit in a chair and I fall asleep. God wakes me and he might impart wisdom. Other times I have my Bible and I'm just staring at it, but I'm resting. And then there are times where I just hear the voice. I've woken up at times and God has given me, be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place. You just think, I don't need anything else. I get to that quiet place. I get into my office or study or whatever it is. It's a playroom at the moment. And I shut the door and I just think about those words. Be still, for the presence of the Lord is moving in this place. There's nothing more to do. It's so easy. And I think one of the saddest things that happens within the church is that need to strive. We strive. We're striving for a relationship with Jesus that we see modeled by other people, yet we don't see the revealed soul within. We're striving all the time. We're striving to deal with the sin that we're carrying behind us, yet we don't give God access all areas, so he can't deal with it all. God said to me the other day, don't strive for me, stride with me, as in just walk with me. So this is really just a message today of releasing us and freeing us to enjoy time with Jesus again, where he will reveal the things of the heart that can be changed. And James sums it up so well, another wise man in the Bible, when he says, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The person of Jesus was complete. He is complete. He's mature. And he lacks nothing. And that's the end goal. That's what transformation leads to. Us not lacking in anything. Guy.
Thank you, Esther.
Come, all you desperate, hungry, thirsty, weeping ones. Come, all the many, many, many broken hearts. Come, all you analysts looking for the proof. Come, all you doubters, in your pain I am the truth. Come, faithful giver of your time, your sweat and tears. Come, all who anguish, for my foot will crush your fears. Come, perfect stranger, that's a lie, for you are known, and you are loved and you're accepted and were created as my own. Come, weary mother, in your waiting you can run, and I will hold you as I whisper to your daughter and your son. Come, all with secrets, put your masks upon the floor. I can see beyond them anyway, to hearts that need much more. Come, you jealous, greedy, bitter, angry, hating soul. Come and run to purpose, find your treasure, hold your gold. Come, quiet giver of everything you own. Place the crown that you wear at the foot of the throne. Come, faithful lovers, it's not been without its pain. Let me hold you in my arms and refresh you like the rain. Come with guilt and shame and the sins with filthy names. I was tortured for your freedom so that you could thrive again. Come, disappointed one, I've appointed you for more, and I will show you as I hold you that this fight's worth fighting for. I died to sin once and never again, defeating the cross for its life I proclaim. Every shade of your sin, I saw it, I bore it, I wore it and felt it, exhaled and smashed it. I am alive, victorious, justified and glorious, righteous and conquering, and in all things honouring. Come, I am here, alive, victorious, justified and glorious, righteous and conquering, and in all things honouring. You have not lingered long enough, or searched my heart deep enough, sat at my table and fed enough, nor met at the well and drank enough. Come, I am here, and I'll never reject you, I'll never turn you away, condemn or discard ye. Come.